Proverbs 18 tonight. Proverbs chapter 18 this evening. And tonight, as we mentioned on Sunday, we are going to be resuming our group prayer time. So splitting off into individual groups of men and ladies tonight. I'm going to be done at 8 o'clock. And so I'm limiting myself. I'm keeping it to 30 minutes so we have time to pray. So in order to do that, I have one page of notes tonight so I can try and limit myself down a little bit, but it's double-sided. So Proverbs chapter 18, and tonight we're going to be doing a little study, which might go on into next week, depending how far we get tonight. But Proverbs chapter 18, fundamentals of friendship. Fundamentals of friendship. I think all of us in here want to have friends, amen? I think we all do. I don't care about having friends. I don't want friends. Well, that's point number one tonight, being friendly. But I think all of us, we enjoy having friends, and it's important for us to have friendships. It's important for us to have that relationship with other people, and God made us that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there are some fundamentals that govern friendship. What type of friend we should have. How should we treat our friends? How should our friends treat us? And, you know, we know all kinds of sayings and cliches about, you know, friendships, fair weather friends, or birds of a feather flock together, and all kinds of things like that. But tonight we're going to look at some scriptures about what are we to be as a friend. What are friends to be to us? What is a true friend? And a friend is not someone that likes you on Facebook, okay? Maybe they are your friend in real life, but just because they friended you on Facebook or they gave you a thumbs up doesn't make them your friend. Amen? Unfortunately, a lot of young people, that's their version of friendship. They never met these people. They live halfway across the world, and you don't even know if that's really the person you're talking to, right? Amen? That's my friend over here, although they're my friend. Well, we're going to look at friendship in the biblical sense tonight. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew 18 and verse number 24, a verse that we know very well, but this is foundational to friendships. Proverbs 18:24, and God's Word says, a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this message tonight. And Lord, that you would encourage us in this area of friendship. And Lord, that we would stand with where thy word would have us to stand. And Lord, I pray that you would protect us from ungodly friends that would take us away from thy word. Take us away from thy power. And Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us, Lord, and that you would encourage every single one of us. This isn't just for young people. This isn't just for adults. This is for everyone, Lord. It's for me. And Lord, I pray that we would be guided by thy word this evening. I pray thy Holy Spirit would touch us in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Fundamentals of friendship. And as we see in Proverbs 18:24, we see a formula given for friendship. And we see in the first part of the verse, a man that hath friends must. Not most of the time, not maybe part of the time. It's a requirement. Must shew himself friendly. Well, what does that mean, friendly? Well, it means friendly, you know. And we have an idea in our mind of what friendly is, and that is fundamental number one, four fundamentals tonight. Number one is friendliness. Friendliness. What does friendly mean? It means having the temper and disposition of a friend. Kind, favorable, disposed to promote the good of another. I want us to focus on that one right there. Disposed to promote the good of another. And that's what a true friend is. Someone that promotes the good of another person. Someone that looks out for the other person. Someone that will encourage you in the things of the Lord. That is a true friend. But in order to have friends, you must be friendly. You know, no one wants to be a friend of someone that walks around and has a frown on their face all the time. That has a scowl on their face, and when you say hi to them, what's good about the day? You know, and that's not friendly, right? And, you know, different parts of the country, you know, my part of the country specifically, is sometimes given the bad name of not being very friendly. You know, I come from northern New York State, and I said, well, New Yorkers are not friendly. Well, you're not from my part of the state. We're very friendly. Actually, our whole tourism, our whole economy is built on being friendly. So maybe that's why money's involved. Maybe. I don't know. But we're friendly. But then there's certain types of people that we encounter from different parts of the country. And usually it was Texans that weren't very friendly. No, I'm just joking about that. No, there was anybody can be unfriendly from anywhere, okay? So it doesn't necessarily matter where you're from. But I do remember one particular thing is that we had a tourism. And also, every year in the summertime, we had an international horse show. It was a big national on the national circuit, equestrian, you know, doing jumps and horsemanship and things like that. And it was a big deal, and it's still there to this day. And it would draw people from all over the country and all over the world, and it drew a lot of people from Canada, specifically those from Quebec. It's not Quebec, it's Quebec. And how many people are from Quebec? Anybody from Quebec in here tonight? Good, I shall proceed. Okay, but no, I'm not making fun, but no, there was these group of people, they were nice people, but there were a certain group of them that they weren't very friendly. And you try and talk to them, hi, how are you doing? They would only speak to you in French. Even though they spoke English, they'd only speak to you in French. And they were frustrated that you didn't speak French. And we would try and be nice to them and friendly to them, but just the most unfriendly people. And everyone, and you knew when they came into the store or came into the room that they had this air about them that was unfriendly. And there's some people, they live their life like that. They, as soon as you say hi to them, they have an air of unfriendliness. You know, when you're out soul winning, you meet all kinds of people. You knock on the door, you meet all kinds of people. Some people are very friendly. And they're glad to talk to you. But some people, as soon as you open the door, out comes the air of unfriendliness. And as a Christian, we should be friendly to everybody. We should have an air of friendliness that promotes the greatest friend any man could ever have. That's Christ Jesus. And we should have that air that promotes Christ-likeness. Because Jesus was friendly to everyone. If we look at the Gospels and you look at the life of Jesus, he gave everyone an equal opportunity to accept him. Even at times, he was friendly to the Pharisees at times. You know, we look at the Pharisees, you know, the enemies of Christ. You know, they're the bad guys in the Gospels. And we look at them and we see that Jesus was friendly. Jesus did rebuke them, but he did it in love. But he was friendly towards them. He was friendly towards those who are sinners. He was friendly towards Zacchaeus. He says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to eat at your house today. That's friendly. He was friendly to those who were, to the woman taken in adultery. He was friendly to her and forgave her. Yes, amen. So if we're to be the right kind of Christian, we need to be friendly. Right. Christian means little Christ, Christ-like. And we need to be friendly. Some people complain about not having any friends. But they struggle to be friendly. You know what? I've had people, and it was at different times. You know, people don't always have this air of unfriendliness. Maybe they're just really shy. You know, someone says hi to them, and they just look down at the floor. They don't say anything. You know, that's a form of unfriendliness as well. You know, I don't know what to say. I'm scared. I'm petrified. But a person, if they're to find a friend, if they want friends. Now, I'm not preaching popularity, but true friends, you got to be friendly. You've got to care about other people. Well, I'm afraid to care about other people because I might get hurt. You might. Amen? That's life. And if you want to live in your little bubble, and I'm afraid I'm not going to go out, I'm not going to be friendly because I've been hurt in my life, your life is going to be very lonely and very sad and very joyless because of what God would have us do. If you are friendly to others, then you'll find that it makes your heart joyous. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 13. What does a joyful heart do for a Christian? What does it do for us? There's two verses in the Bible. We know a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But there's another verse, Proverbs 15, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but thy sorrow of the heart, the spirit is, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So right here, if you're friendly, and you have friends, it's going to make your heart joyous. It's going to make you what? More friendly. Amen? And people are going to be attracted to, and people are going to want to trust you. People are going to want to be your friend if you have a joyful countenance. When you have someone that walks into church, amen, I'm excited about... Is my microphone on? Not on? All right, I'm moving around. It's on now. Might be on, might not be on. It's on. All right, we're good. Thank you. All right. We got to get that red light installed that Brother Starr said. We got to get that on there. He's flailing back there telling me it's not on. If we are joyous, then we're going to attract people to us. If you love people, they're going to be attracted to that. When someone walks in the door of church, man, they're just friendly people. You know, you just want to get to know them. Like, Brother Neil, man, you're a friendly brother. Amen. I'm excited about that. And that's what a missionary needs to be. He needs to be friendly. You know, I said, man, I just want to talk to him. Amen. And that's good. He said, no, I'm sure he didn't know he's going to be a sermon illustration tonight. But that's friendliness. We ought to have that in our life. But consequently, if we're constantly downtrodden in a mood and we're constantly having a pity party, then we're not going to have many friends. Because guess what? People, when they look for a friend, they look for someone to lift them up. They look for someone to encourage them. They don't look for someone, hey, we have enough depressing things happen in our life. Amen? We have enough hard things to deal with. I mean, just look at the news. You know, just look at the news. You know, if we want to get depressed, we can get depressed about North Korea shooting more missiles. You know, it's a scary thing. It's a real thing. And I'm praying for our brother. He's going over there, right next door. But he's still going. Amen. Some people say, oh, I'm not going. I'm not going now. I mean, that's too much to give. But we're praying for safety while you're over there. And praying that there can be a peaceful disarming of that situation. No one wants to go to war. But we have this propensity at times to be so downtrodden, and we push people away from us when we need encouragement. Need to be friendly. That's a fundamental of friendship. Be friendly. But what happens at times when we have friends for a long time, we stop treating them in a friendly way. How many had that happen to you? How many have had, oh yeah, they take you for granted and they stop treating you in a friendly way. You know what? Then you start what? Moving away from them. Because things have changed. They don't care about you as much as they once did before. That can even happen in a marriage. You better be friends with your spouse. Amen. Better be your best friend, but you can take things for granted and begin to grow apart because you're not friendly towards your spouse because of different things. Maybe because your wife won't let you wear your Christmas tie or things like that. I'm gonna keep bringing that up until Sunday. I was friendly about it after a few minutes, but life is too short to live in misery and alone, isn't it? Still, life's too short for that. We need to be friendly. Number two, another fundamental of friendship is trust. Trust. All friendships have differing levels of trust. Look at Proverbs 29 and keep your finger there. We'll be there in a minute. In the Bible Institute class, we've been learning about relationships and that friendships can be broken down into several different levels. There's the acquaintance level, where someone you just know them, maybe know their name, maybe know where they're from, but don't know much about them. They're an acquaintance, someone that we know of, but beyond that, beyond their name, where they're from, and what job they do, we don't know much about them. You know, and that's an acquaintance. Another level is a casual friend. Someone that you maybe meet at work, someone that you maybe sit and have lunch break with, or someone that you know at church that you talk to every once in a while. Maybe you talk to them every Sunday, just say hi to them, and you just know some surface things about them. Maybe where they graduated college, or what they did in the military, or you know some things about them. Maybe you know some about their family, but you don't know much about them. You know a little bit more than an acquaintance, but not much more. And then you have a close friend. A close friend is someone that you knows quite a bit about you and you know quite a bit about them. Maybe you've been friends for years. And then there is an intimate friend. And by the way, a husband and wife ought to be intimate friends in that they know everything about each other. They share their hearts with one another and they go forward in life together. You can also have a very, very close friend. Example of this would be David and Jonathan. They were very, very close friends, and they were knit together in the heart, and that they would do anything for one another. They would die for one another. They were so close. But each one of these levels has different levels of trust. To have someone as an acquaintance, you don't have to trust them at all, right? And sometimes we keep people as an acquaintance because we don't trust them. Because there's something about that maybe, oh, there's something wrong with this person. By the way, let's just not go assuming something's wrong with everybody we meet. Amen. You know, we can sometimes become cynical. Well, They look funny. Well, so do you. Maybe someone's thinking the same thing about you. But we ought to be friendly, right? But there might be something about it. Maybe they're not honest, or maybe something like that. And we ought to keep them at an acquaintance level because we can't trust them because of something that's going on in their life. And by the way, don't mistrust somebody just because of what someone else told you about them. Be careful about that. Be very careful about that. Oh, I don't trust him because so-and-so said he did this. Well, maybe the so-and-so that told you was actually the one that did it and not them. Be careful about that. Also, so you don't trust him as much, or maybe you don't know him real well. There's no trust there. But as you become to casual friends, and what's the bond that brings people together is things that are similar in their life, something in common. We're not usually friends with people we don't have anything in common with. It's amazing how many people get married and they have nothing in common. It's amazing to see that. You know, and 9 times out of 10, they end up in counseling because they need to help. What do they have in common? Well, you're married. That's something you have. You're married to each other. That's something you have in common. Then work from there. But things that you have in common with a casual friend, maybe you work at the same place. Maybe you like the same sports team. Maybe there's something there that's a commonality, and it goes more and more and more, and you will trust maybe some details of your life to them. You know, a perfect stranger comes up to you and says, hey, where were you born? When's your birthday? When's your anniversary? You're going to say, get away from me. Why do you want to know? You know, why is this? Why do you want? You know, and maybe they just have a genuine interest in you, but they're giving you, you know, all these things. And what do? We don't trust them. So no, what are you going to do with that information? That's personal. Why do you need to know that? That's what we do on Facebook all the time. But, you know, really, do we trust that person? Well, no, but as we get closer and we trust them more, and we'll get more and more details of our life. And each one of these levels requires differing levels of trust. And if we're in a growing and living relationship, remember, friendship is a growing and living thing. It's not a static thing. It grows as you get to know someone, learn stuff about them. As they go through hard times in your life and you try and help them through them, your friendship will grow. Amen. Just like our relationship with the Lord, Abraham was called the friend of God. So is it possible to be friends with God? Yes. Enoch walked with God. I think Enoch was a friend. Amen? I think Elijah was a friend to be caught up into the presence of the Lord. Moses was a friend. What did God say? He said, I speak to other people through visions and signs, but I speak with Moses face to face because of that direct relationship. Just in case everyone had forgotten who Moses was. Because what Moses was, he was the meekest man ever lived besides the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a humble man. But tonight, do we have trust in our life? And there are times when that trust gets broken and we get hurt. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 35. Ultimately, our trust is to be in Jesus Christ. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And that's where people get hurt, as they are maybe in a time and place in a life, maybe they're not saved. Or when they put all their faith and trust in a person, and that person breaks their trust. That person hurts them. That's a very damaging thing. I'm not diminishing that at all. That is a damaging, hurtful thing in someone's life. And many people have a hard time moving past that time in their life. They have a hard time trusting God. They don't want to trust anybody ever again because of the pain they experience. You know, if we go and put our hand on the burner, it hurts, right? We don't want to do it again. And unfortunately, we make an assumption in our mind. We associate that with pain, and we think that every other person we meet in our life is going to do that to us. That's the devil like you to think. But it's not true. Jesus will never do that to you. Jesus will never let you down. Jesus will never fail you. We went through that Sunday morning. He'll never let you down. He'll never leave us or forsake us. So ultimately, our trust is to be in the Lord Jesus Christ in all areas of our life. But we must also trust people too. Not to the extent we trust the Lord, but we must trust people. And the more we get to know people, the more we trust them. But just because someone hurt you doesn't mean that we throw all friends out the window, that we throw all relationship out the window. We can't live like that. A person should also be able to trust you. Amen? That your yea be yea and your nay nay. If you say you're going to do something, you better do it. No, there's a great way to put a hamper on a friendship is when you promise to do something, you promise to be there for somebody, you promise to pick them up at the airport and you totally forgot, right? You promise to do something for them and you forgot. You know, and you know what? We can overwhelm our lives. That's me, unfortunately. I overwhelm myself and I forget about things. My wife asked me, did you do that? Oops. I forgot about that. You know, I start to write things down now. You know, because I'm getting old. I'm turning 30 next week, so I'm getting old. So I got to start writing things down. No, I say I have a limited amount of RAM. So there's just so much going on. I can't keep it all in there at one time. But that's something that all of us have to work on. Are we trustworthy? Can someone trust us with something? Another great way to put a hamper on a friendship is someone tells you something private and you go tell the whole world about it. That's a great way to put a hamper on a relationship, on any friendship. And then, oh, this is what's going on in my life, and we get on the prayer line. Got to pray for sister so-and-so. Men don't have to do this as much, but men do it too. Got to pray for so-and-so. Now, sometimes you need to be praying for people. I'm not diminishing that. We do need to be, but just because we've got we have a way of sharing it that is maybe a spiritually disguised way, but we're just really trying to share some information because everyone's going to be excited to hear about it. That's wrong. That's not trustworthy. That's gossiping. That's not trustworthy. And you're going to damage a friendship in doing that. You must be able to be trusted and be able to trust the other person. If you can't, the relationship will never grow. You need to be able to be trustworthy. Number three, mindsets. In order to have a growing friendship, you have to have the same mindset. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. As Christians, our mind, we have the mind of Christ. As a Christian, we're to have a God-centered outlook on life. We're to have a God-centered view of the world. We're to have God-centered goals. That's our mindset. What is charting the path of our life? Is it our own thoughts and our own wisdom, worldly wisdom, fleshly wisdom? If that's your mindset, then you're going to attract those type of friends because you have that in common. But if you have a path that is charted straight by the Word of God and it's charted straight forward and you're growing in the Lord, and then you're going to attract friends that have that same goal in mind. Some of the best friends I've ever had have been ones that I was in the same major with. I was a missions major at college. And some of my best friends that I ever had, you know what, we would sit and talk about the Bible. We would talk about missions. We would talk about serving God. We talk about preaching, different things. The best friends I have, one of them over in China right now, John Sinsky, one of my best friends I ever had. One of the many friends I had in college I could be able to sit down. I remember several times sitting up to 3 o'clock in the morning. We were floor leaders sitting up there at Pensacola Christian College, sitting there, and we were just talking and talking about the Bible into the night. Just sitting there, just talking about the Bible. We weren't talking about things we ought not, but we were talking about the Word of God and the Bible. I still remember those times, and he does too. And encouraged one another in the Word of God. That's the type of friend we ought to have. Why? Because we have the same mindsets. And our mindset, we are to be friendly to everyone and seek friendship with everyone. But as friendships grow, they grow because of a similar mindset. And we must let God choose our friends. Oh, I have enough wisdom to choose your own friends. No, you don't. Do you know everything about that person? Do you know what their ultimate goal is? No. As I said before, we can't be looking around every rock. Everyone's out to get me. You know, we're a secret agent or something, and everyone, hey! The enemy's everywhere. Now, it is true, the enemy is everywhere. But we can trust in God to give us wisdom. We can trust in God to keep us from those people. And don't worry, if you're in the Word of God and you're praying, you're going to notice something isn't right in someone's life. You're going to notice that there's something off. The Lord isn't giving you peace, and there's a reason why. You better listen to that. Oh, there's nothing wrong with this person. There's nothing wrong with having this friendship. But the Lord's speaking to you about it. If the Lord's speaking to you about it, then you need to start moving away. Because there's a danger there. A lost person does not have a mindset that is correct. It is in opposition to the mindset of God. Because it's in their very nature. Our fleshly nature, our sin nature, is at enmity with God. Our mindset is not godly. And a lost person cannot help but be in this condition. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 through 17. And God gives us some guidelines, gives us some commands in regarding having friendships, having any type of relationships, or having any having a separation here. Verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And this principle is so important in our life. This principle here is that a young lady and young man, you should not marry someone who is not saved or doesn't have a clear testimony of salvation. Because you won't have the same mindset. You won't have the same goals. You won't have the same anything. And it will only cause division and will not make for a successful relationship. And the same thing, when we have friends that don't have the mindset of God, whether they're lost or saved, they ought not be our close friends. We can be friendly to them, we can witness to them, we can encourage them, but we should not be having so much in common with them because they will change you. They will change you. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Change will begin to happen in your life. Not saying we can't care about people. Not saying that we can't witness to people. Not saying that we can't study the Bible and show people what God's Word says. Doesn't mean we can't get to know people. We should be doing that. But when we have a close friend that is lost, we begin to listen to their wisdom. Oh, I'm in Psalms. I was like, wait a minute. In the wrong place there. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So a person who has a friend, that is a godly friend, you're going to encourage one another. As iron sharpeneth iron. But also the same way you can sharpen a knife or a sword, you can dull it with the same in a different way. You can use a sharpening stone. You can dull your knife too. And a lost person that is a close friend can do that. They're not going to encourage you spiritually. It's not going to happen. They're not going to uplift you spiritually. I go to my friends for life advice. I go to my lost friend to ask, what should I do in this situation in my life? They're not going to have the wisdom of God. They don't know God. And what we do and what can happen is a Christian can start going in that direction because they see that maybe living this way is a better way to live. That maybe God's ways are not the only ways. And the more you listen, the more you begin to change. So you need to be careful. But if you have a friend that has the same mindset as an encouraging man, you hang on to that friend. Because unfortunately, many times, they're few and far between. And you need to hang on to them and care about them. And with any relationship, you get as much out as you put in. If you put into a relationship, if you put into your marriage, if you put into a friendship, you're going to get the same out. Need to be friendly. By the way, siblings ought to be friends. Amen? Pastor, you know, I know. Siblings are different. I mean, my brother and my sister, we're all three of us are different as different can be. You know, my brother speaks at a level. I said, okay, you got to bring it down to the normal people level, what you're talking about there. You're so smart. He says, up here, talking about these things. I nod my head. You know what I'm talking about? I kind of have an idea. I'll go try and piece it together as I go along. Because I just learned to say that, because if I just say, no, I don't know, he'll spend 10 minutes explaining what each term means. And so we're going to be there forever. My sister and I are more similar. They call us the twins, but we're still very different in our different things. I can drive her up the wall. Still can. Little brothers are born to be able to do that. But we're all different. We all try and be friends. But sometimes close friendships aren't possible, even with our family members, because they're not going the same way. Their mindset's different. It's hard. But if you're growing up in the same house, I ought to be friends. My brother and I used to be inseparable. All the time, growing up. I was 5 years younger, and he never, he never treated me like I was a little brother. Like I was just an annoyance. We were best friends. Did everything together. Then he decided to grow up and all that, but those are sweet memories and times that I have in my life. Don't lose that. But also last year, I'm going to go with this very, very quickly, is loyalty. If you are a true friend, then you must be loyal. Not forgetting our first loyalty, the Lord Jesus Christ. Loyalty is a lost trait in many friendships today. What is loyalty? True to duty, not treacherous. That's what loyalty means. When you are loyal to a friend, then there are some attributes of this loyalty. You will not receive an accusation against them, gossip or slander. You won't take it. You won't accept that about someone saying that about your friend. You will defend the character of your friend. You will not betray them by gossiping about them. You will not betray the trust they have in you. In Proverbs 27, verse 10, just over a couple of pages here, shows the importance of lifelong friends. I want you to see this. Thine own friend and what? Thy father's friend. Thine own friend and thy father's friend. Forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. A neighbor who's what? A friend. Someone who, we should be friends with our neighbors. Is it, Pastor? You don't know my neighbor. We should be friends with our neighbors. Amen. Try to be. I know sometimes our neighbors aren't so friendly, but we should try to be and get to know them. And we try to get to know our neighbors. I mean, living in an apartment complex, you get to know all kinds of people there. But after you live there a while, it seems like the first year, you're just kind of suspiciously looking at each other, trying to figure out what this person's like. And then someone takes the first step and begin to talk to them, and we begin to talk to all kinds of people in our complex. They come over and they find out I'm a pastor. And they come over and they tell my wife and I all the problems in their life. And it's a great opportunity to minister to them and be able to share the love of Christ with them. Why? Because we can say, well, I don't have time for you right now. Maybe we're in the middle of something. We can't talk to you right now. We need to take time for people. Need to be loyal to your friends. If you're loyal to your friends, they will be loyal to you. That trust is built up, especially going through hard times. So fundamentals of friendship, being friendly, being trustworthy, having the same mindset, and being loyal. These aren't exhaustive tonight, but if we have these fundamentals in our life, we will have lasting, growing friendships. We're not going to have an invitation tonight. We're going to close in prayer. Then we're going to take a couple prayer requests and pray. But keep these in mind tonight. Let's be the right kind of friend. And let's make sure we're seeking the right kind of friends as well.